It's Here and Now, and we're on our final day broadcasting from Houston before we head to San Antonio for the rest of the week. And we want to take a look at some of the news that's been happening across Texas and some of the lesser-known stories that maybe we should be paying more attention to outside of Texas. And for that, we are joined now by Craig Cohen, host of Houston Matters on Houston Public Media, News 88.7, our host this week. Hi, Craig.
Hi. How are you, Jeremy?
I'm doing well. And Aurora Losada is also with us. She's editor of La Voz de Houston. That's the Spanish-language publication by the Houston Chronicle. Aurora, welcome to you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And from San Antonio, we're joined by Shelley Koffler, who's news director of Texas Public Radio in San Antonio, where we'll be heading later today. Hi, Shelley.
Hello. We're looking forward to having you here.
It's going to be great to be there. And I want to start, though, here in Houston. We sat down this morning with the mayor, Anise Parker, at City Hall. She is just back from the U.S. Conference of Mayors in California. And we asked her how other mayors see Houston. Let's listen to what she said.
It used to be Houston was an anomaly in everything. Houston's the city without zoning. Houston's the oil and gas capital, and I think they had a certain image of the city of Houston. But now I think they're a little bit envious of our economy, even with the lower oil prices. And I've been out trying to convince them that we're not what they think that we are.
That we're not what they think that we are. Craig, why does the rest of the country have this image of Houston that is kind of outdated?
Well, I guess it goes back to the 80s and the last time there was a big oil bust, and the perception was, oh, that's all Houston is about these days. The economy here is certainly more diversified, with healthcare and aerospace, among other industries, contributing to the economy. So even as the mayor noted, as oil prices have been lower this year, and even as the oil and gas industry has engaged in some layoffs here and there, it hasn't really had a dramatic impact on the economy.
Aurora, how is the economy in Houston right now?
Well, as Craig said, it's definitely much better than in other places in the country. We all know that because, to start with, many people are coming to Houston from other places in the U.S. just because of this, and we can see the boom. The real estate has boomed for the last couple of years. As Craig said, the economy has diversified a lot, and lots of immigrants, and I'm talking about not just the low-income and low-education immigrants, but the even wealthy and more sophisticated educated immigrants are coming to Houston instead of going to L.A. or Miami or other traditional places just because of this.
But not everybody is feeling the boom.
Not everybody is feeling the boom. That's right. And that's the other side of the story. There is a lot of people who are still struggling to make ends. The middle class is feeling the heat somehow, that they are not progressing as fast as they should. And I think to some extent we can see that there is some sort of gap between those who have progressed really quickly, mainly in industries like obviously the oil industry, the energy industry in general, the medical industry in particular, and the research industry. And also, you know, the other industries that are definitely not going so well because they're not going so well in the rest of the country either.
And Shelley, as you hear that and you're listening to us from San Antonio, which is just a few hours away, you spent a lot of your career in Dallas, also a few hours away in a different direction, but very different cities. How does that sound to you? Is the economy booming all across Texas, or is it a different story?
I think that generally across Texas, if you look at the unemployment rates, we're always and have been, not always, but in the last 2 to 3 years in particular, we've been well below the national average in terms of unemployment. Even in those bad years, 2008, 2009, more people percentage-wise were employed here in Texas than in other parts of the country. And, you know, you'll hear Governor Perry, who's now running for president, talk about what he calls the Texas miracle.
The Texas miracle,
now,
yeah.
That's right. And some of that is hyperbole, of course. You know, he's a candidate running for election. But some of it is true. We have a low tax state. And while that doesn't always benefit people who are in need of social services, it is very attractive for companies that are relocating. And we've had a number of relocations all across the state, especially on what we call the I-35 corridor, also 45 down to Houston, all along Austin, Dallas, San Antonio. We've seen big companies moving their businesses or expanding their businesses here. And so just like Houston seems to have an economy that's booming, San Antonio definitely has an economy that's booming. And I just recently bought a house here, and I can tell you, it's booming because prices are going up maybe 30 to 40% over last year. If you're buying a house now, you're paying that much more this year because people are coming, but the housing market, the number of units available hasn't kept up.
And you mentioned Governor Perry there. Now, we should say the governor of the state of Texas now is Greg Abbott. We remember that, of course, the president of the United States for 8 years was a Texan, George W. Bush. You've also got a very famous senator who's running for president, Ted Cruz. But when you look at the demographics right now, people have always been talking about how Texas is going to get more and more purple as the demographics change, as more Latinos come into the state. Why hasn't that happened yet? Why do so few, comparatively, of the Latinos in Texas vote, Aurora?
Well, that's the $1 million question. I can tell you, you know, it's a big question about Texas in general. But again, Texas is different. It's diversified. But specifically where we are now, in general, in the U.S., they don't vote as much as they should. And that is such a pity because, as we all know, demographically, they are going to be the majority in the next couple of years. When we talk about Harris County in particular, where we are now, they're over 40% of the population. And yet, they're only around 20% of all registered voters. Mm. So that is the number one issue. When we talk about Latinos, we need to keep in mind we're not talking about everybody in the Latino community being able to turn out and vote.
Right.
Many of these people are not even naturalized U.S. citizens. Many of these people, even if they are eligible, they have not registered. And those who register don't turn out. Hmm. Now, having said that, the other problem is that when they turn out, they don't really have candidates who appeal them. Candidates still don't talk to Latinos. Many of them, just because they just pronounce two or three words in Spanish, think that they are appealing to them. And it's much more than that.
Well, how has the new governor, Greg Abbott, and Craig, let me go to you, because we've heard in the rest of the country, he attracted a lot of attention after his reaction to this military exercise that's happening this summer in Texas, a U.S. military exercise. And some people have been suggesting that this is some kind of takeover attempt by the federal government. There was some criticism of Greg Abbott that maybe he fueled that fire a little bit. But how's he done in his first year?
Well, setting that aside as best we can, because, again, Jade Helm 15, what you're referring to, those training exercises will begin in several states starting next month. So this subject will probably filter to the surface again. But otherwise, he, of course, along with his Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, oversaw a legislative session that itself was less contentious than some anticipated. There was no special session called by the governor. He did veto 42 bills this past session, which included ethics reform, which unfortunately, from his perspective, included a loophole that allowed lawmakers to hide their spouse's finances. Hmm. And the governor says that would, of course, weaken the state's ethics laws. He wants the legislature to try again in their next session 2 years from now. The governing side of things has sort of been lost, I guess, amid the Jade Helm 15 snafu.
That's right.
Interesting. And Shelley, we're waiting on some big Supreme Court decisions, probably many of which will have big implications here in Texas. There's one on lethal injections that we're waiting for. Another, obviously, the big one we've been talking about, same-sex marriage. This is a state where same-sex marriage is not currently legal. But how might that reverberate around Texas, do you think, Shelley?
Oh, it's going to be huge. In fact, we had a discussion this morning, and we had this discussion before Monday because we didn't know, in fact, whether the Supreme Court would hand down a ruling Monday that might lift the ban in states like Texas on gay marriage. And I can tell you, like here in San Antonio at the Bexar County Courthouse, the county clerk has already said, I'm ready. They've already printed a new marriage license. He's already issued the invitation all across the state. If you're in a county where your clerk doesn't want to respond really quickly, come on down to San Antonio, because he also has talked to judges within our circuit here in our district, and they have decided that they will waive the 72-hour rule to get married. So if tomorrow, when the Supreme Court is planning to issue
could
some
possibly
rulings,
happen tomorrow, might happen also next Monday.
Yes. I think it's Thursday. It's tomorrow, Friday, and Monday, 3 days.
Right.
They've extended the number of days. And so if it happens, we have people who will be posted in Austin near the Capitol, where there'll be a big event that's already planned. And we have someone that's going to be posted down at the Corny Cowhurst, where people will show up, because there will be a huge emotional response if, in fact, they lift the ban in this state.
Okay. Well, I want to just ask each of you before we let you go about a story that we're missing. And Craig, I'm going to start with you And I know that you've got a new poll out today.
Yes, Houston Public Media and KHOU, one of the TV stations in town, released an early election poll. And among the findings, it asked voters to identify the biggest challenge facing Houston. They said traffic, not a surprise there. They're split on what the solution should be, though, between expansion of mass transit and road improvements. And that's the big story in Houston and probably will be across the country in the years to come. Extraordinary growth leading to extraordinary infrastructure challenges.
Aurora, what story are we missing?
Well, going back to the beginning of this segment when you were talking with Anise Parker and she was talking about Houston and how a non-Houston is out of Houston and Texas, I would say the major story here that we can see is that this is the most diversified major metropolitan area in the U.S. And I think what Houston is doing to deal with that is going to be like a petri dish for the rest of the country.
Okay, Shelley, we just have 10 seconds, but tell me, what's your story?
I would say I'd like the rest of the state to know more about the interesting water conservation efforts that are going on here, including aquifer storage and preservation of property so that the water can seep down into the aquifer and replenish our supply that way.
All right. A state that has been in a drought, but now getting a lot of rain, much needed. Shelley Koffler at Texas Public Radio in San Antonio, Aurora Losada, editor of La Voz de Houston. That's the Spanish language publication by the Houston Chronicle. And Craig Cohen of Houston Matters on Houston Public Media. Thanks all to you.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Jeremy.